traumas that I know I couldn't keep in hours. Never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I could.
Fred Hatcher, Fred Hatcher Jr., Chairman Fred is in the building, man. Appreciate you coming out to fuck with him in the building. I see y'all out there, man. I just want y'all to know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes in the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep it out.
Heads up, eyes open, the fist clear. Face the media, some of this here shit. This should be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say cold of the sea, we talking about the path of clubs. Like the party clubs, that is. I will never violate the cold of the sea. Will never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I never will go broke. Because sad to say that we ain't never had this shit roll. Well, I can never say how it's gonna go. One thing for sure, two things for certain. They know to shut up motherfuckers like us. They gonna have to kill us, close up in the casket. Read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains.
Never be sad, I would, I like a hoe. Never been punk, I'll never let it slide. Never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever. No, get on my level, hoe, or go get a shovel, hoe. It's never in question for my manhood, I get down. I'll never switch, never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I'll never squat to take a piss, who's the bitch now?
I will never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I will never sell my soul. Never put bullshit over business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that will be perfect and pushing this shit to the motherfucking living. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitation. I will pass the cover to my last breath, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 Chicago on December the 4th. Never, never, never.
I never ran, I never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I done ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all want to listen. I will never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down the legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never, never, never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, by wherever enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch. But we'll never, never, never have it. Never, 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 never.
Never gonna turn cold, my nigga. I can never trade. I never cross my homies out. That ain't how I'm made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto where I slung and rapped it every day. Never knew no other way. This ain't gonna never change. Never gonna bite my tongue. Fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself. I swear to God I stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talking nigga down. Do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying. That's the same, dawg. Get your motherfucking money. That's the same, dawg. Too many homies die young. Feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never, never.
Rockin' rough, man, tough with the Afro buzz. bust on. Others leave them frying in the griddle in the middle like Moni. You phony cause your style's below me, but I rock with no filler. Ain't a girl in Ciela putting rappers on ice and lock the bodies in the chiller. The way I bust it up, I Chuck Nasty sound like throw up, blow up, then go nuts like a lady ninja killer. I throw you deep beneath the surface. It's the rage from Paige, I heat it up like a furnace. My steel got smoke, check the gamma ray from the She-Hulk. Stomping through your territory, new rap female category winner. And your style gets played out like the spinners. Not a soprano, I alto, the rage is a tenor. My voice is just right, I bust hypodermic to get in the mind's eye. Making you hip-hop junkies wanna fly like eagles. My style sharp as cathedral steeples. Showing and proving even a lady can be diesel. So breaker, you best keep on trucking. And roll over that chicken shit to pluck it. You're stuck in, stupid, you doofus. I'm rhyming so hard, I'm knocking out your toothes. A teacher, believe this shit, butthead just get played out like Beavis. Receive it, it's sure, it's lyrical murder, but still rocking on.
Rock on, rock on. The lady you raised, lyrical murderer, the baddest lyricist.
Now I'm an explosive vocalist, make you real just to focus. No hocus pocus, no bogus, I'm the dopest. Lyrically the locust, what it's so cold for static. I see through your synthetics with my telekinetics. I mean my telepathics from this mouth of madness. Flows one of the baddest in existence. My existence is prevalent. Hesitant not, you'll get dropped. I'm rhyming so hard, I see you knocking out snot. Cause I slam like collision from your vision to me. And you can't touch it, not even a smidgen to me. Your pigeon shit to me, so drop it, drop it.
Damn,
I take a puff and I blow out like Moby. Running lyrics quicker than Toby. What's my name? Yeah, you know me. Rage, lyrical murderer. What's my name? Yeah, you're rage, lyrical murderer. Yeah, you know me. So if you wanna see me, turn on your headlights. I make you run red lights, trying to catch it. Slam into the radio in the wreckage. Towed away, blowed away. Cut down, mowed away. Curled up like Ola Ray. So let me straighten it out, cause I'm a thriller. Motherfucking MC cold killer. When I cock back, you better drop that. Yo, hop back, I rocked at the dawn. Yes, I still rock on.
Rock on, rock on. The lady you raised, lyrical murderer, the baddest lyricist born. Rock on, rock on. The lady you raised, lyrical murderer, the baddest lyricist born.
Now when it comes to the hippest in hip-hop, I make the lips drop. Knees knock, buckle and shake. Now who's to make the wrong move? Get dusted, busted, whack MCs who can't cut the mustard. I stick it to you like voodoo, so who do you think you're fooling? Not Rick, but ruling. Ha, you couldn't hang with the new.
You what?
Your boots will get caught.
You what?
Look up in the sky.
Why?
And fly, robin, fly. Giving you whatever suits you. Got the size 8 Timberlands to boot ya. Oops, upside your head. Hey yo, I'm seeing red like a bull. Baby, I got the pull of a knot. Red fox, cutting out fox me. Because I'm foxy like brown. Break it down now.
What?
From the end to the start. Lyrical murderer. Pumps fearing hearts. I'm tearing parts to pieces like Reese's. I freak it. Speak it in tongues. Put you on like Benita Arabum. You can't see me. You're blind to the fact that I'm on deck. Swinging on the wax. Striking them out like bats. Hats off. Blast off. Watch me rock it. Sock it. Do ya. Whatever it takes to do ya. Done.
Done.
Top gun. It's the lady of rage. Still rated number one. Motherfucker.
Don't talk that blasphemy.
pops told me.
The new word. Follow me.
Remember what pops told me. My family tree consists of drug dealers, thugs, and killers. Struggling, known to hustle, screaming, fuck they feeling. I got advice from my father, all he told me was this. Nigga, get off your ass if you plan to be rich. There's 10 rules to the game, but I'll share with you too. No, niggas gon' hate you for whatever you do. Now rule one, get your cash on M.O.B. That's money over bitches cause they breed envy. Now rule two, it's a hard one, watch for phonies. Keep your enemies close, nigga, watch your homies. It seemed a little unimportant when he told me I smiled. Picture jewels being handed to an innocent child. I never knew in my lifetime I lived by these rules. Initiated as an outlaw, studying rules. Now papa ain't around, so I gotta recall. I'll come to grips with being written on my enemy's walls. Promise if I have a seat, I'ma guide him right. Dear Lord, don't let me die tonight. I got words for my comrades, listen and learn. Ain't nothing free, give back what you earn. No doubt, getting high in the motherfucker, bless me please. This third life will be the death of me. Come on. Now remember what my papa told me. Remember what my papa told me. Blasphemy.
Look what them are stealing. In the name of the Lord, them are stealing. No crime.
Now remember what my papa told me.
In the name of the Lord, they begin while the
we probably in hell already. Our dumb ass is not knowing. Everybody kissing ass to go to heaven ain't going. Put my soul on it. I'm fighting devil niggas daily. Plus the media be crucifying brothers severely. Tell me I ain't God's son. Nigga, mama virgin. We got addicted, had to lead the birds. Back in the ghetto doing wild shit. Looking at the sun don't pay. Criminal mind all the time. Wait for judgment day. They say Moses split the Red Sea. I split the blunt and roll the fat when I'm deadly. Babylon beware. Coming for the Pharaoh's skin. Retaliation making legends off the shit we did. Still bullshitting niggas in Jerusalem, waiting for signs. God coming, she's just taking her time. Living by the now while the water flows. I'm contemplating the plot, wonder where the thought is going. Brothers getting shot, coming back, resurrected. This is that raw shit, nigga, check it. Can I remember what my papa told me? Can I remember what my papa told me? Blasphemy.
Not for them, I'm still in the name of the Lord. Them, I'm still no cry, holding my world in the cloud.
The preacher want me buried, why? I know he a liar. Have you ever seen a crackhead? That's eternal fire. Why you got these kids' minds thinking that they evil? Why the preacher be a wicked? You say honor God, people should we cry when the poor die? My request, we should cry if they cry when we bury Malcolm X. Mama, tell me, am I wrong? Is God just another cop waiting to be my ass if I don't go pop? Memories of a past time, giving up cash to the leaders, knowing damn well they ain't gon' feed us. In my brain, how can you explain common disease? It's hard enough to live now, and these times are grief. They say Jesus is a kind man, but he understands times in this crime land. My third nation, do what you gotta do, but know you gotta change. Try to find a way to make it out the game. I leave this and hope God can see my heart is pure. It's heaven just another door. I leave this here. I leave this and hope God see my heart is pure. It's heaven just another door. And my people say,
not for them I'm still in the name of the Lord. Them I tell no fly. You sing the name of the Lord in vain. While the people in the ghetto them feel no pain. Not for them I'm still in the name of the Lord. Them I tell no fly. But all of my feet in a cloud. You sing the name of the Lord in vain. While the people in the ghetto feel no pain. Not for them I'm still in the name of the Lord. Them I tell no fly. But all of my feet in a cloud. You sing the name of the Lord in vain. While the people in the ghetto feel no pain. Not for them I'm still in the name of the Lord. Them I tell no fly. Hold my bird in a cloud. You sing the name of the Lord in vain. While the people in the ghetto feel no pain.
Hurry! one notices the you. It's just me against the world, baby.
Grandma live and direct, Brother Ted.
Live and direct. He is up as of the fist clinch. Let's go ahead and make kiss and take kiss and tape pistol, y'all. Close the Fremont Radio Mart, May 4th, 2022. See, locked and loaded, y'all. Pause for the calls. He is up as of the fist clinch. We are going to be live on Intellectual Radio shortly, but as we speak, we are live on Instagram. This is Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. We are live on Fremont Radio. We are live on Facebook on page, and it shows me my page. It's not your page I'm on. On Fred Hampton on Facebook. Are you on Facebook live? Okay. You? Yeah. You see Oliver over there? Might not be. One second, y'all. Bear with us. So you know, better yet, you say club with us. I'm trying to. Is it pulling this tight? Okay, I'll be right there, man. Okay. All right, y'all. Free them all. My radio is right on. My addiction, right on. That's what it is. Free them all. Right on. Look for Brother Early. Come on in. I think that's good to see you in the building. There you go. Oh, don't start tripping this stream, y'all. Don't start it, man. No.
You want me to go live on my page?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hold on. What's going on? Don't start this today. Went through all this last night. Come on. Man, I'm supposed to do this technology, man. Why is it? Man. Probably layout press shit. What's on all this stuff? That's why I was just complaining about this stream, y'all, so y'all be tripping. Ooh, there's my coffee. Okay. Okay, we got another thing. We're talking about y'all again. Let me get like, so Free of My Radio. We program hosted by Black Panther Party Cubs, hosted by yours truly, Chairman Free and Happy Dunya, and Robin Allen, a.k.a. Lady of Rage. Let's make this, exactly. Let's take history, let's take history, y'all. Oh, guess what it is, right on. He says, all right, okay, good. Already, okay, all good. All right, y'all, we about to be locked and loaded. Intellectual Radio, we come in quadruple breasted. Okay, phone calls already. Okay,
all good.
Free them all, says right on. All right, y'all, let's get right into it, y'all. We talking about Mother's Day at the Hampton House this Sunday. We're talking about... update on the reparations hearings. We're talking about the water being dropped at the Stateville and Menard. Go to Sister Cassandra Greer's page and Dr. Latrice's page also. We're talking about the leak. They say it was leaked about the regards Supreme Court decision regards to Roe versus Wade, the abortion issue. What's your thoughts on it? You know, position on it. You know, so when up there, it has a political conversation about all this. Again, everything is political. And, you know, a lot of people say, okay, Chairman, get straight to the chase. What's your thoughts on it? We want to heighten the contradictions. We want to heighten the contradictions so we can have some conversations in regards to what we're talking about gun rights, what we're talking about the crime in Chicago, a.k.a. Chirac, the abortion issue. The deal is to take into account a lot of that really have to tweak our political muscle, again, to have to engage in some dialogue objectively and have, you know, sense of, you know, sense of, raise out some criticism and so on and so forth and see what's the best interest in regards to the people. Y'all know we've been talking about Menard, you know, and those, I said before, Menard, I know I'm on y'all face on Instagram, forgiving the cord kind of short, that's why I'm kind of like right up in y'all face. I ain't got my eyeglasses on, my, you know, since, Menard, talk about the history of Menard in particular with Chairman Fred. Chairman Fred himself was there in 1969. I was there in 1999. We heard so many countless of horror stories. And I'm using that word lightly, you know what I'm saying, in regards to Menard. You did. I say on a number of occasions, you can actually, you know, see people, you know, who've been to Menard and see the response. And, you know, when I was fortunate, you know what I'm saying? I say fortunate. I'm so fortunate also. I'm going to say that too because I'm going to paraphrase this guy told me when I was in town, was Supermax. He said to me, he says, good you down here. I said, huh? I said, whoa. He said, you know, you help bring a lot of light to what's been going on down here. And, you know, and so be it. So be it. But his deal is, you know what I'm saying? As Minister E.P. Newton said, sister, the state, the fascists, they love to perform that treachery in the dark. Our job is to turn the lights on, heighten the contradictions, you dig? And, you know, we know many people have been misinformed, bombarded with propaganda that, you know, prisons are living this life of luxury behind those walls, you dig? Nothing can be further from the truth. In fact, it's a book called The Dragon Has Come, talked about Field Marshal George Jackson. And the preface it says something to the effect that you go visit your loved ones, that and you see the grass green outside, the prison guards may greet you nicely, so on and so forth. But your deal is your loved ones, your husband, your son. I'm going to paraphrase that too. The daughters, your sisters, so on and so forth, are being taken back and dehumanized, beaten, you know, murdered, you know what I'm saying? And again, we say turn a concentration camp, it's not the most good sound bite. So, goodbye, whatever, I'm going to free them all. That's what it is. Y'all, he locked and loaded, y'all. We can make history, take history, take history. If you can't go to a certain part of the country, the world, you might want to hold up on this rack. Because, again, the spirit of internationalism, we pop it up in Ghana, Ireland, Congo, behind the walls, New York, Attica, South Side of Chicago, you name it. You know what I'm saying? Instead of internationalism, feel free to call in, y'all. 929-477-3785. Let me slow down because I'm telling you, Mr. Chairman, you can't speak kind of fast. 929-477-3785. And then press 1 to be heard. And also, you can call in at 708-223-8953. Talking about Menard, we had countless families. A lot of families calling in saying, you know, what's going on in Menard, their loved ones, what they were subjected to. And, you know, I reached out to contact, in regards to, you know what I'm saying, the only lady coming on here with us this week, and I'm going to quit your fiance, my phone. Oh, yeah. Okay, right on, your fiance, I think you called in before, did you call in?
Correct.
You called in, and there was a number of different families online with us, I think you called in. A few weeks ago, we had some. You remember some of the family's name that was on here?
Alicia Gill.
Okay, Alicia Gill. Y'all remember that thing about 4 weeks ago? She's on here. Alicia Gill. Who else?
I'm not quite sure the rest of them, but I know for sure.
It was several. I'm saying to say, a lot of times you can say, okay, it's just you know, there's one person on here. You know, maybe their fiance, or their loved one, maybe he's going through some bad times down there. Maybe it's aberration, but it's is my guy, is one of my comrades that said to me, he said, his mother said to him, if one person call you a horse, you might can dismiss it. Seven people call you a horse, you might want to invest in getting a saddle. Countless families, you know what I'm saying, back to back, you know what I'm saying, historically, you know what I'm saying, have, you know what I'm saying, conditions that are occurring throughout these concentration camps, but in Menard in particular, you know what I'm saying, notorious. And, you know what I'm saying, whenever we have the opportunity to talk directly, you know what I'm saying, hit directly, you know what I'm saying, impact, you know, how it's affecting the families, affects. Winnie Mandela said that when a prisoner does time, it's not just the prisoner, you know what I'm saying, it impacts the whole family. Give us who you are, your fiance's name, how long he's been locked up, and get, you know what I'm saying, just so you can take us to Chester, Illinois, Menard CC. What's going on, you know what I'm saying? What's the situation? What's happening with your concerns? Right, you know what I'm saying? What made you travel, even the hours you traveled to see us, to hit to the Hampton House today, and have, you know, how pressing is it about your fiance's case that you felt to come sit directly and say face-to-face about the horror condition your fiance is subjected to?
Okay, before I begin, first I want to say it's an honor and a pleasure to be here and to have the opportunity to share my story. My fiance, his name is Kenyatta Brown, and he is currently an inmate at Menard Correctional Center. He's been incarcerated since 2007. He entered the Department of Corrections in 2011 and he was an inmate at Stateville Correctional Center prior to being transferred to Menard in 2020. His story involves harassment, retaliation, and abuse from not only Menard Correctional Center, but Stateville Correctional Center as well. The abuse and harassment started in 2014 when he actually won a civil lawsuit for harassment from a prison guard at Stateville Correctional Center. Stateville tried many different tactics in regards to him, from writing false tickets, legal active mail holds. I've received letters in the mail that actually the envelope was empty. There was no letter in there. Visitors being harassed, him being chemically restrained so that he can get information out from me. Stateville was giving him Vicodin as well as Tylenol number 3 around the clock during the weekend when he had knee surgery because he was experiencing their physical therapist actually blew his knee out and they were refusing to give him medical care. And I'm a rehab therapist. So I was telling him from the beginning, these are protocols that you're not even supposed to take with this type of knee surgery. And he's 6 weeks out and he just became weight bearing and a physical therapist put him on a bike for an hour and blew his knee out. And Stateville was refusing to send him out. So I was constantly calling Stateville to try to get him sent out to the hospital. They were chemically restraining him so that he couldn't call me over the weekend. When I finally got in touch with them again on Monday, because they were refusing to give me any information because of HIPAA and he hadn't signed any papers, he finally signed the papers. Then I finally got to talking to him, and once I made them aware that, look, I know you're chemically restraining them. This is against the law. They sent him out that Monday to the doctor, and that Wednesday he was having another knee surgery within 2 days. Stateville was trying to transfer him to Menard in 2019. Well, prior to 2019, they were trying to transfer him to Menard, but he had an active medical hold on him, so they could not transfer him at that time. So in August of 2019, they were plotting against him to try to get him transferred to Menard. He was made aware of it. He wrote the grievance on it. Because he wouldn't reveal the officer's name that had gave him the information, they put his grievance off to the side. In December of 2019, Kenyatta was on an active mail hold, and I actually have the violent proof. I have the FOIA request right here in this packet of work, paperwork that I have that can actually show that he was on an active mail hold since 2007. And I also have an email right here from Sarah Johnson, who is in Springfield, who's out of Springfield, to Xavier Taylor, who is Internal Affairs at Stateville Correctional Office, that where he verifies that Kenyatta was on an active mail hold. In December of 2019, there was a package that came into the mail. If anyone knows what an active mail hold is, any mail, whether it's legal mail or regular mail, it automatically goes through Internal Affairs before it's given to the inmate. Kenyatta received, a guard came to his cell with a manila envelope that made it past Internal Affairs all the way to his cell. It had a bunch of stamps on the envelope. It did not have any postmark dates on the envelope itself. And there was a bulge inside the envelope, no postmark from the post office. And it was marked as if it was legal mail. Kenyatta looked it, noticed that his attorney's name was wrong. This wasn't even the type of envelope that his attorney uses. He refused it. He refused to take the mail. They opened it up, and they pulled out a half ounce of marijuana along with cigarettes wrapped up into the plastic. Somebody had to bring that package into Stateville to get to him, to set him up. It never made it through the post office. There was no postmarks from that. They placed Kenyatta into SEG. He beat that ticket. They knew that he was set up. The officer, an outside officer, was investigating this. They knew that it was a setup. But, however, they were still able to ship him to Menard, which he made it down to Menard in January of 2020. When he made it to Menard,
If I can inject, there's a couple of terms that you had threw out, right?
And okay.
Just for the that's for those who may be, you know, not familiar with a lot of these, you know, say, I want these terms to slip past them. Okay, tickets, chemical restraints, grievance, FOIA, a mail. Like, let me just, you know, tag team with you a bit. The mail hold, like intentionally holding this mail. Like, he can't.
Yes. So can't. any mail that he gets, it automatically goes into internal affairs. And they read it and they investigate all mail before it's even given to him.
Internal affairs, like the police, inside the police. Okay, and even FOIA. Okay, so a lot of information you said you got FOIA, Freedom of Information Act. So this is not just some stuff that you subjected that you feel it when you went back and invest. You got this from the Freedom of Information Act. Give us a little more, like the chemical restraint, like, you know, some people, they hear about the mace, the spraying of the mace and everything, but give us a little more intel about the chemical restraint.
Okay, so a chemical restraint is whenever you give somebody, so you have certain medications, whether it's narcotics, maybe psychotropic meds or things like that, and they use these meds to control people's behaviors, whether it's causing them to be drowsy. I'm trying to think of general terms to use. Mm-hmm. Whether it's causing them to be drowsy, whether they're lethargic, that's where they can't communicate. So what happens is, even in the medical field, is you would give a person these medications to control them.
Right.
Whether it's to keep them calm, keep them relaxed, keep them asleep.
Yeah.
And things like that. So once you're forcing meds and you're giving meds like that around the clock, you're restraining them chemically.
Yes.
To where they cannot communicate with their family or maybe control a behavior or get up and walk around, whatever. There's many different reasons why people use chemical restraint.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually against the law to chemically restrain
mm-hmm.
someone.
Mm-hmm. And then we heard our assets from the prison. Malcolm X said that America is self-represents prison. Minister U.P. Newton said that prison is a microcosm of the outside community. In other words, I'm saying to say that we see the blatant with the George Floyd, the different cases. We talk about the beatings in the outside community is more intensified behind the walls. We see what law enforcement do normally, being on cameras. Imagine behind the walls. You talking about the chemical biological warfare. Again, the chemical biological warfare. Literally, shooting cats up, knocking them out. I mean, it's on steroids. You know what I'm saying? So, what's happening behind those walls? You know, with the forced medicating. I remember scenes in Stateville, as well as Menard. You know, horror stories. One brother, he was known as a stand-up guy, Mandingo, and real muscular, big brother. They shot him up with so much narcotics. You know, when the people seen him, they didn't recognize him anymore. So I hope y'all stick with us on this ride, though. You know, so we're talking about. Kenyatta Brown in particular, you know what I'm saying, with a number of families that have come to his historical nature, you know what I'm saying, this infamous concentration camp, and I don't use that term lightly in regards to Menard. With you.
Okay. So Kenyatta was transferred to Menard in January of 2020. Prior to him being transferred to Menard, the Department of Corrections had already changed their policies. At one time, they were forcing African-American males to cut their dreadlocks. However, you had Caucasian males that were able to still keep their long hair, their real long, thick beards, and things like that. When Kenyatta made it to Menard Correctional Center, they were trying to force him to cut his dreads. They've done everything from refusing showers, restricting him from visits, not allowing him to go to legal calls, not allowing him to go to legal visits. This is actually a picture of Kenyatta and his dreads. You could see that his dreads are searchable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they were trying to claim that his dreads are
a security risk.
However, Kenyatta, he knows his rights. He knew that the policies had changed. He stood firm on it, and he refused to cut his hair. So in the process of all the harassment and things of that nature, Kenyatta followed his proper protocol. He filed his grievance through the warden. Then it moved on to Springfield, and then it actually has an active civil suit case in the Southern Illinois District Court again. So now here is...
So it's an outside court?
Yes.
Because a grievance that you filed inside the prison. The prison administration, but okay, so this case is an outside court.
Yes, so okay. It's now in the Southern Illinois District Court. Now he has another active lawsuit. The court seemed for it to be fit, and there was enough evidence there to support harassment and retaliation and things of that nature. He was given racial names. One of the officers actually told him, "We're going to make a case out of you. You're teaching these how to fight against us."
Mm-hmm.
They also was refusing to allow him to have his in-person visits. All his visits were trying to force behind a glass.
Mm-hmm.
Because he refused to cut his hair when they seen that he was standing his ground, and he would go, they were transferring from house to house when other inmates were seeing that he was there and he was allowed to cut his dreads, because so many inmates, even after once he was there, they were coming in, they were still using tactics such as refusing to let them go to shower, refusing them to have a visit, refusing medical, different things of that, just to force them, just to have that control over, to where inmates were saying, "Okay, you know what, my hair is not worth it," and they would just give up.
Mm-hmm.
So Kenyatta stood his ground. He has this lawsuit in July 9th of 2019. Kenyatta had actually wrote the attorneys of the prison, because they had opened back up and allowed visits coming in, and they had allowed him to have his contact visits, and he explained to the – I have a copy of the – letter from the attorney that he wrote to the attorney that had basically stated to them, "As long as I have my visits, I'm allowed to have my visits and things like that, I'll drop the lawsuit." So he was willing to drop the lawsuit, but Menard Correctional Officers, they weren't aware of the letter,
mm-hmm.
and they just want to keep on and keep on with the retaliation and the harassment. And so on July 9th, they came and brought him in under an investigative hold. So with an investigative hold, they can hold you for 30 days. And during that investigative hold, they tried three different tactics. I actually have the grievance here that's wrote from Menard from their own words, that where they have admitted on August 9th, where they admitted three different tactics that they tried to keep him into seg. The first one was for the investigative hold. They held him in there stating that there was a fight in East House. He was an inmate in West House. He was the only inmate out of West House that was brought in on this investigative hold, and they were trying to state that he put a hit out to have two gangs fight. Kenyatta has been in the Department of Corrections since 2011. Since his whole time of incarceration, he's never even had a title of being a gang leader. Menard has now placed him as being a minister of the Black Disciples here in 2021, which now how do you go 10 years in prison never having this title, so all of a sudden you're having this title? Kenyatta's grievances that he had before, he's never had anything as far as conspiracy, as far as staff assaults or things of that nature. So they held him in. They were doing their investigation. They found out that the fight was over two inmates arguing over a phone on the yard. However, Menard did not release Kenyatta. They still continued to hold him in every time that he'd seen the officer. And these are the same officers that's involved in the lawsuit that he has against them. The officers kept giving him a runaround about why he was still in SEG and, "Oh, you were supposed to have been gone," things of that nature. Then they turned around and came back and stated that they found a kite that they said that Kenyatta wrote. That Kenyatta wrote, and it was a kite about asking for about some money. They were trying to relate it to as far as being drugs. Kenyatta had recently just won a lawsuit because of his knee situation, and he explained to them, you know me, you know what I got going on, you know the money that I just sent out to my family. Why do I need to be involved in drugs?
Mm-hmm.
Kenyatta explained to them that that the note that they had found was pertaining to, and I have here the invoices, where these are the invoices for the magazines that Kenyatta ordered, mm-hmm. the magazines that they found in his cell. They were pornographic magazines.
Mm-hmm.
He also has the ticket where the Menard actually mailed the ticket out. So what it is when they order things, they send a slip to the commissary, and they the facility itself writes a check out.
Yes.
So Menard actually wrote the check to this company that mailed the books in.
Yes. Yeah.
And when the books came in, Kenyatta sold the books. He explained to them, you could go back and listen. They found the magazines in the cell. So now they don't have it for drugs. So they couldn't beat that. So they continued to hold him in SEG on this 30 days. He was actually August 9th when they came and wrote him the ticket. When they came and wrote him the ticket, he was actually in there for 31 days. So they actually kept him in there a day longer than what he was supposed to. Now, when Kenyatta went into SEG on July 9th, I personally had mailed in some photos to Kenyatta. These aren't the photos. These are copies of the photos. Here, I just want everybody to see. These are pictures of my niece. Her baby had passed away at 9 months old. These are photos of an infant's funeral, 9 months old. These are...
What charge they hit them again with this gang activity or something?
No, they said that these photos, copies of these photos, tested positive for synthetic cannabinoids. So they're trying to say that I took live photos like this, and if somebody gives me some water, you could pour water on this photo, and it's going to damage. Photos do not absorb liquid.
Basically, for the graph, I recall Menard. I received my daughter's report card, and I was given a ticket for gang activity. They said one of the had red ink on one of the on the report card. This is Menard 19. It's a block in my memory, but no, I believe that. 1999. Yeah.
They were stating there was 177 photos tested positive for drugs. This is the thing of it here. I mailed those photos out, and the postmark date on the photos was July 12th. I live in the St. Louis area. It takes 1 to 2 days for mail to get from my house to Menard. They stated the photos came in August 5th, not even realizing that the postmark date is on the actual envelope. They placed them in SEG for 90 days off of this. Like I said, I have the grievance here where they wrote in their own words. They admitted in their own words that they tried three different tactics to keep him into SEG. This is not something that we're making up. This is not something just to it's their. These are their words. These are their tickets. They placed him in SEG for 90 days, and they put him on a no contact visit for 6 months. That came out of that situation. Now, they have my name, they have my address, but there has been no charges brought against me. But I mail drugs into this facility. I'm still allowed to visit. No restrictions, nothing happened to me. They stated that they used a testing kit called the Sriracha NARC2 testing kit. When you actually look this testing kit up, it's actually on my phone. This testing kit, I have it from the actual website itself that states these are presumptive tests only. They have to be sent to an outside lab in order to determine. Menard states that they sent this out to the Illinois State Police department. Once again, we filed a FOIA to get a copy of these records, to get a copy of these here. Kenyatta received a response back that stated that they're having difficulty finding these photos. The Illinois State Police, not Menard, the Illinois State Police. I have sent something out. I had an attorney try to contact the Illinois State Police to get records of these photos, and these photos cannot be found in the Illinois State Police Department.
Another tactic on the photos away.
It only continues to get worse. Like I said, Kenyatta has an active civil suit against Menard. So what, with this being said, anything that Menard is doing right now, as long as the same officers are involved, he can just keep adding this to his court case. So all this here is added into his court case. The judge has seen that this case is so complex, and it's so much harassment and everything that's going on. And with Menard, she provided him a paid attorney who's actually out of the state of Missouri. She did not even give him one that's one in the area. That was the middle of December. And Menard itself came back on December 21st. I actually have the email. Let me see if it's on this phone here. Where Kenyatta sent me an email that stated, hey, they're getting ready to try something else.
I know some people in here talking. Yeah, it's Tasha Bates, a free cousin Kenyatta. Okay, I knew it, no doubt. Right on.
Where they came back in and had stated that they had an informant, and that now they are trying to say that Kenyatta was trying to commit a staff assault. So that's where he came in. Now he has the title of being a minister of the Black Disciples, as well as conspiracy to commit a staff assault. Inmate that they used was an inmate that stole some food, and he was trying to check himself into protective custody. This inmate is now no longer at Stateville. He's actually been transferred to Pinckneyville. And so once again, they used this tactic to keep him into second. They gave him another 90 days out of a total of 240 days. Kenyatta served 180 days in seg behind a steel door, which the steel door is provided for inmates who are, they have behavior problems. They may throw urine, things like that or whatever. Kenyatta has never had these issues throughout his whole time throughout the Department of Corrections. They only continue to get worse. We're talking about, as a matter of fact, Kenyatta sent me an email on Monday through the email system to read to you. That's from him. They are holding that email right now today. He sent me an email today at 1:55 that basically said they still haven't gave you that email yet. I got that today. He sent me an email today.
He sent you an email today, but you see that with the email he sent you about to me last week. You haven't got that yet.
I still haven't got it. They're holding his emails.
My name mentioned it.
Correct.
This is a rhetorical question. A lot of people. Let me stress this. I remember we did a coalition with a sister some years back, and we talked doing a prison busing program, and I was telling her, sis, my name is a red alert, you know what I'm saying? And she couldn't believe it. And she came and said, who are you? My name was on the prison busing thing. And when now in prison, my photograph and Chairman Fred's photograph is in every gun tower still to this day. When I was in Menard, they had a charge, they would give you 6 months additional time. And I struggle with so many people, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, we got to heighten that contradiction. And we I'm glad to emphasize that. We want to fight for this. And we let's be clear. A brother told me in Galesburg, I come off Galesburg, y'all, and I'm saying this humbly, it's all humbleness. They said, man, he said, can I meet him? And he said, and the brother said, yeah, you can meet him. He said, man, I thought I couldn't approach you, man. So I come up the yard, I get mud on my jogging pants. Want the best gym shoes, none of that. And I thought I would approach you, and you'd be like the rest of the guys with the jewelry and everything on you. He'd say, man. I said, no, it's like Sly Stone, man, everyday people. What's happening? He said, I had to meet you. He said, the guards went through my cell. They went through all my literature, all my other information. When they seen this picture about the Free Fred campaign, he said, man, they threw down on me. He said, you know, what's to this? You know what I'm saying? And I'm just, and the deal is, I hope y'all heard that. You know what I'm saying? The state know who is who. And it's a trickle-down message. A lot of people, like you say, don't touch that. You know what I'm saying? We wonder why people say, I don't know why people don't get involved in stuff. Guys told me when I was locked up, I would like to do what you do, Chairman. I would like to support that. I just can't sweat it, man. I can't handle being transferred right now. It ain't no, you know what I'm saying? And I respect the fact. Let's be honest. Let's have an honest discussion about this here. We live and direct on Freedom Mall Radio, y'all. I met a stewardess, an airline stewardess, 54 years old. She was on flight. You remember Conrad? And she said, she ain't watched the movie Judas and the Black Messiah. She said, she's scared too. I said, I appreciate your honesty. I said, you watch BML? She said, yeah, a million times. You know what I'm saying? One of the major street organizations had in the 60s was, when the police come for us, they lock you up, and they come with the Panthers, they'll kill you. And we, you know, in the deal that we had to, you know, and let's heighten this contradiction, you know what I'm saying? I'll make sure we get this brother's ID out there, on this court dates out there, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Again, we commend you for coming in. I tell people, I had a case yesterday. And this brother, he's a legend, in Englewood, a lot of people are popular. And it's they trying to put clemency on this case, John Burris. And his sister, I said, man, give me one person to help. We got to think of one person, one contact. I said, you know what I'm saying? Give me one person to help push this campaign with us. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of arenas, when they see me coming, so I had to China. Here he come. You know, the bull is in the building. But we need the support of the people, y'all, because, again, as individuals, we don't. You know what I'm saying? And we got, you know, there are different walks of life, you know what I'm saying? But, again, the support of the people, I'm clear. You know, just even the mention of our name, the heat that comes with that. You know what I'm saying? And ain't no... I get tired of battling with people that just want sort of paranoid. Man, they tell you at their mouth, you know what I'm saying, what it is. So I just want to reiterate that right there. The email, I said, you got people that still say, well, maybe the email, maybe the Wi-Fi wasn't working last week. You know what I'm saying? That still fight that contradiction. And we say, like when the Panther Party, COINTELPRO, it was targeted. It was a whole bunch of dynamics. It was assassinations, informants, agent provocateurs. All that dynamic, but again, they came to wipe them out, you know what I'm saying? Anything about self-determination. So we're going to heighten the contradiction. Before we leave, we're going to make sure we want them to flood them letters in. I'm in flashback to Manon while you're talking. Right? Proceed.
This is actually the email that he sent today. He sent this today at 1:55. I received this at 3 o'clock. He had an email that he sent to me several days ago. I still haven't. He says, oh, they making sure you didn't get that, huh? They know the message is powerful. Make sure you let Fred Hampton know that they holding it purposely, and whenever they do give it to you, forward it to him so he can see why they held it.
And I tried, a lot of people watching with Judas and Black Messiah, we put a lot of Panther Cup political appeal. That movie got more information in it. A lot of these bogus books got in it. Go look in the movie. That's Menard Prison. The movie Judas and Black Messiah, That's Menard Prison. We showed you, it's actually in there, them taking his letters. I was in the prison when we filming that scene. You know what I'm saying? We literally, all that was important, the turns he wrote, they took the letters. I'm having flashbacks. I'm talking about, they would take my letters. It was a dude from, you mentioned Eternal Fast. His name was White. That was a fictional name. He was big, deeper than just from regular police. He would come through in the morning, early morning. Before child line was ran, he would play psychological games. He would read up, he would say to me what was in my mail coming to me. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't receive the mail. He would say, oh, yeah, your cousin, such and such happened. He said, oh, your people are involved in the protest down south. I never received the mail. Then they would put psychological games like this. In Stateville, they had a thing, internal affairs. I didn't receive mail for four or five months. I come out, they take me, they say, I got a lawyer busy. I said, I ain't got a visa restriction. It did me to the side room, all my mail is laid out. I thought I was sending out. Excuse me, let me watch my English. I did send out. It never got out. Another was coming in. These are tactics that are going. I'm not talking about across seas. I'm not talking about the 1800s. I'm talking about right now, today. And I'll say again, a lot of people can't grasp this. You know what I'm saying? We sidetrack. I'm very clear. When I first got to Menard, when I first pull up in Menard, when I first get there, they pull up my property, Warden Page, what they call him, a guard named Torville. This ain't no yesterday. They get a Chicago Sun-Times. It's a picture of Chairman Fred in the Chicago Sun-Times. They say, man, gang activity. Take him to say, first they try to pull me up, they had 8 guards with a gun tower. Dan King told me, they want you to respond so they can blast you. That was the whole plan. But they doing, ain't doing the average cat here. So Warden Page come over there. He's so reactionary and racist. He come over there. Yeah, I heard about you, man. You leave the vice lords, block them up. You know, the girls, like, hold on, man. This dude is not even that. They place the ice station, I got there. This going down, y'all. I don't care what type of TV shows y'all have seen, that they treat us humanely. This was going down in these concentration camps. Oh, man, that kind of a rough word. Look at this here. I'm not talking about no Oz TV show I seen, no book I read. I don't take it for granted. I'm still, my legs, my legs was like wheels. Like, literally, get this. I went up on a comrade in the business room in Menard. I say, man, D, what part you not understand? I'm not coming up out of here alive. Got the dress being cut up. Brother named Raymond. I never forget this in Menard. His grandmama, like a community lady, an old candy store type lady. She coming down the 10-hour drive down in Menard. When he get to go visit his grandmama, they stop him and tell him he got to cut this dress or he can't see his grandmother. That's when I put a policy out, blood in my mouth. There's a player field marshal, George has blood in my eye. This is what's going. People talking about, man, that's all that's back in the days. It's still going down, and it's still resistance happening. It's still, you know what I'm saying? See, you got to be clear on this here. It's still, you know what I'm saying? Kids, man, what's this back in the day? We still fighting back, you know what I'm saying? We still fighting to expose these contradictions, you know what I'm saying? And we got to use brutal terms for brutal realities, you know what I'm saying? That chemical, they turn the cats into dope junkies, force medicating them, you know what I'm saying? Like China, the opium wars was a war that China waged. Britain waged against the Chinese people to turn them to a nation of junks. That's why you had the Boxer Rebellion. People fighting back. You know what I'm saying? Chen Mao Zedong had to fight against that. They are literally the prison ain't designed by no rehabilitation. Let's be clear on that. Okay. Let's be clear on that. You know what I'm saying? It's designed to break you, to break the spirit, the will of men, women, and children. Why do you think Field Marshal George Jackson had never come here must have broken men? You know what I'm saying? This is the whole purpose of this. I remember North Seg Menard. They come get us, and his little brother come out there, and he had his head up. You know what I'm saying? He would go up on cats. He said, man, make sure y'all have y'all head up. Y'all walk with y'all head down. And that stuck with me. You know what I'm saying? To be conscious of that, man. Menard is known for the forced medication. You know what I'm saying? Chester has the mental health facility, right, you know what I'm saying, right across people. They using our people's lab rats down there for all testing, all type of medication on them. You know what I'm saying? And people say, why people don't talk about this here? In Abu Ghraib, Baghdad, when those prisons, they say, why you didn't tell us about this? They said, man, we done found grievous. We tried to talk about it. The rest of them said, man, it was so embarrassing. A lot of people just happy to get up out of there. A lot of people be telling me, man, you still talking today? Take you back up in this here. We got a responsibility. We call it the Harriet Tubman Code. That means get them to go back, reach back for others who are held captive, y'all. I know it's embarrassing. Being oppressed is embarrassing. Man, whoever y'all got in these camps, I want y'all, man, one matter of fact, on the post, on the social media, Instagram, everybody will start committing one prisoner, one contact. You know what I'm saying? Start putting up a post, the ID number, where they held at. You know what I'm saying? One prisoner, one contact. What that means is at any given time, you can give us a status check on some particular prisoner. You say, hey, man, what's happening, man? Oh, it's Sunday out of cold. Okay, man, Abu Jamal, James such and such, you know, Kenyatta Brown. Everybody's had one prisoner, one cop, everybody. So commit to that now. That means I walk up, I'll call you tomorrow. Hey, man, what's happening, man? James such and such. Oh, man, you know what I'm saying? You're in C-grade. In Nazi Germany, the first victims, the initial victims in the gas chamber under Fuhrer, Adolf Hitler, was the ones who did not receive any mail. Why they got this policy talking about mail hole? Why they put a policy to get to my mail hole? Once you disconnect it, you know what I'm saying? Man, that's the first ones Adolf Hitler started gassing, the ones who didn't receive any mail. Once they isolate you, listen, Illinois prisons right now got motherfuckers on count. Still, that means they still getting paid for them. Cats who've been dead over 15 years. That's a fact. Motherfuckers been dead over 15 years, and they still on count. They still getting, this. They got a policy. We was up north, I think Galesburg somewhere. Big Money River, no, Big Money River, south. We up north on no concentration camp. Cats start getting these tickets all of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? Then we start getting the tickets, they say, man, nines over 6 cents. So why are they making this detail? Everybody getting transferred down south. Come to find out, this is around the census time. So you got these places like Johnsontown, who initially their population be like 200-300, these smaller towns. Now we packed down there, the population, you know what I'm saying? It's packed up, you got 10,000, so they get the resources. Then now you think you got a blessing. Oh, man, I finally got a transfer to get back up north. All this, and it's not just economic. People kill me with this nonsense. It's just about money. Man, money, murder, all that. Listen, they are paid to kill us. This, man, everything is political. All our respect us getting our resources. They producing a certain type of motherfucking those concentration camps.
Now, since we're talking about the mail, I just want to show this. Kenyatta had received a letter in the mail. The letter was returned back to them. Here it is here. I'm not making this up. You could see this where they wrote before they gave it back to him the word fag onto his mail.
Wow. Oh, man. Hey. The psychological games. Hey, these chumps, man. Hey, you to come up out of Manal with your sanity intact and to be alive. Hey, I tell cats, man, listen. We did a podcast today. I want to shout out to these brothers that came in, too. Y'all youngsters probably in, too. I feel bad. My dad didn't feel much. He said, man, I know about no cap. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, you know what I'm saying? They done touched down with us, you know, so we're going to have an episode doing it. They just came in. And this is real good. I commend, because like I say, a lot of cats get the movement confused. This conscious, in the bubble, you know what I'm saying, drinking green juice. And just, we in this man. I got the Wacko Flock. I had a guy's point from Point Man, Big D, say, he said, man, how you be doing all this stuff, music and right? I said, I got to get the good, bad, and the ugly. You know what I'm saying? We do the real world. We're going to be combining this, these, that. You know what I'm saying? We're going to hit every audience, the pool hall, the clubs, the mosques, the church, all that. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? Again, shout out to No Cap there in the building. Y'all, you give me a heads up. Y'all will jump in, whatever. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? We got a relationship. We, you know what I'm saying? It's on and popping. You know what I'm saying? We can turn Hampton House out. And we're going to hit every – so all you youngsters think, like, well, man, that's the Channel Crow and that Black Panther. We coming – listen, we're going to popping up on them rap lyrics. We popping up everywhere. Ain't no neutrons. Ain't no neutron in this war. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no – man, I ain't going to do with this here. Then this here. She's telling me, this is my first time sitting on face to face. When he made mention of my name, all email and stuff. Man, he that come with this. So I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes I'll be hating. I'll be like, damn.
But we're not afraid of the fight.
Right on. I commend you. A lot of people, I get 100 calls a day. Man, I'm ready to do this. That's okay. Meet me here. Meet me towards California. Cats disappear. You hit that road. You travel. You know what I'm saying? You travel down here. You know what I'm saying? We got to put some skin in the game. And I'm real big about that. I'm real who I struggle with, where I pick my battles. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying?
Cause we've been having this fight since 2014, so I have a real passion. I've been here for 7 years, side by side with this, through this whole thing, from Stateville all the way down to Menard. Stateville had put a permanent restriction on me at one time. I just got my business and everything back, and I'm still here, and I'm still fighting, and I'm not going anywhere.
Stay good. I want to bring this energy in from 2014, and I want everybody. We're gonna start because this is like we got my mother. She's still banned from Stateville to this day.
Well, no, Stateville had me banned through the whole department.
I was talking too fast. Through all that, she's banned to, you know what I'm saying, to the banned in Stateville. And I want to let people know, a lot of times we come in, nice, not you, but a lot of times for a lot of people, they come in, they miss a lot of stuff before, okay, things this just started. It's like in the United States, they soldiers, they go back, the Army, we study, what's that military school, West Point. They study General Patton. You know what I'm saying? They study all that stuff before them. And they study the history of those in attack. They study Hannibal. That's where you get the L formation from. we got a long lineage of fighting back. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you real quick one story. Chairman Fred was in the city of Stateville. At the time, they would call you by a prison number. Whenever they approached him with a prison number, his only response, if he responded, was, "I'm Deputy Chairman Fred Hopper, Illinois Chapter Chairman of the Black Panther Party." They deemed him to be criminally mentally insane for refusing to answer to the number. They transferred him to Menard, 1969. I met the guys in Menard when I was there in 1989. They had done hits for the administration. And that's when we were hiding the contradictions. Chairman hiding the contradiction. The point, they told the warden, when he came, they said, "Man, he told the warden." They came on the yard, like, "What's the hold up? Why this man ain't laid down bloody yet?" They said, "Man, we on Chairman Fred security. Anything out there, we holding you accountable for." He politicized, you know what I'm saying? See, once we hiding the contradictions, and you know what I'm saying, and we can't negate nothing that happened in the past. It's so much war story, you know what I'm saying? And we're going to take this new energy and combine it with battles that been going on, you know what I'm saying? The history of Stateville, but not all of it, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of kids say, is it too late? Somebody who's there, maybe Alicia Gill.
Yes.
And she was saying how...
Alicia Gill, her brother, is incarcerated at Menard, and he's in segregation right now. And Menard put some false tickets. I can't tell her whole story.
You keep saying tickets. Just so people can know what tickets are.
So the tickets are where they write, I mean, it's basically like a charge. So they put a charge on him. I can't really fully tell her story because I don't know her story, but they falsified charges and everything on, and he's been in SEG on there. He's writes her constantly where the guards are making threats to kill him. He's getting a shower once a month. He's getting
a shower when?
Once a month. There, she barely has contact with him. The mail, when he writes out letters to his family, is coming almost a month later. There's another inmate, Isaiah Brady, who's in SEG as well.
His names, go down to the OC, the numbers. If you feel like, "Man, Chairman, I ain't got nobody. I don't know about locked up, which I don't know what planet you're on with that." But if that's the case, pick a name. You know what I'm saying? Pick these names.
We have another one, Chaz Trailkill. They are currently in SEG right now. Right now, while they're in their SEG, the food is limited. They're not getting their showers. They're not getting visits. They're not getting phone calls. They're trying to isolate them from they have connections with the family. Alicia Gill constantly gets letters where her brother is fearful of his life. He won't even take the vaccine because he's fearful of them injecting him with something and possibly killing him. So his family can, right now, DOC has a policy going to where unless you're vaccinated, you and the inmate both have to be vaccinated in order to get visits. So he cannot even get his visits.
Now, they got options. You mentioned earlier about behind the glass, video. See, all this stuff. See, they run this thing about for security. Excuse me. In Menard, the degrading searches, we challenged this before. The degrading searches, the strip searches, I'm using that term loosely, that occurred to a prisoner before going on a visit. What they do, you and you say, "Wait a minute, logic is, okay, if I'm going, what am I trying to smuggle? I'm trying to sneak some drugs out of here," you know what I'm saying? And what they do, I remember fights we had about this here, man, you know what I'm saying? Man, and even the law, we carry the case law, to break you, to dehumanize you before you see your loved ones. You know what I'm saying? You would go through these, I recall this on going to visit Menard, a thermal on, up under the shirt. They tell me I can't do the visits. I remember throwing the thermal away. I remember that, you know what I'm saying? Throwing the blood in my mouth. Man, this is going out right now, y'all, as we speak, this is, man, live and direct, y'all. We need support. We need to put this out. We need, you know what I'm saying? We need the warden's name. We need, you know what I'm saying, the call-ins down there. We don't have no, remember these one person, one contact. This is, you know what I'm saying, the election time coming up. Man, and y'all saying, and don't get it twisted. I ain't talking about the vote thing. I ain't none of that. I'm saying, man, I know a lot of times that, you know what I'm saying, when it's a battle among gangsters, you know what I'm saying? You're hiding the contradictions. You know what I'm saying? You say, man, this is it. People got, what's your thoughts about this candidate? Flip the script. Turn the table around. What's their position? what's their position in regards to what's happening in Menard. You follow what I'm saying? That cut off a lot of conversation. You know what I'm saying? People say, who you voting for? No, no. What, give me a candidate that's talking. Well, they kill me with that. Well, the president can't do that. You know what I'm saying? The governor can't. Hey, everything political. I ain't talking about electoral politics. This conversation got to be tied. If a person of a garbage collector, alderman, say, man, what's your thing about Menard? Well, that's not my ward. Dig. You got something. Maybe take some position on it.
Well, not just myself, but it's been some other family members. We're gathering together to where we're trying to go in. We're wanting to fight Menard. We're looking for more families, for family members that are willing to stand up and speak out. Actually, this Saturday here, we teamed up with Rainbow Push, and we're actually having an event at Rainbow Push this Saturday. The media is going to be there. We're trying to get political people out there. We're trying to get as many people out there as we can. Where we're going to speak on the conditions that's happening at Menard. It's this Saturday from 11 to 1. I'll actually be driving up from St. Louis, Missouri to attend this event.
What time?
Between 11 and 1 this Saturday at Rainbow Bush.
The warm bodies are going to push this issue, you know what I'm saying, here, there, and there. Well, tie this in. I want y'all to hit them clubhouses, hit them Instagrams, you know what I'm saying, so what's going on in Menard? Man, tell the stool pigeons, don't tell nobody. Tell them it's a secret. You want them to keep it to themselves about what's going on in Menard. You know what I'm saying? Tell them, man, this stuff, man, Chairman Fram, Jr., the Black Panther Party, cuz, tell them, don't tell nobody. Don't keep it to themselves. You know what I'm saying? Man, tell the stool pigeons, it's a secret. Man, tell them, man, put this on Instagram, TikTok, and then a challenge. How many, you know what I'm saying? How many prisoners you going, you know what I'm saying, going to correspond with? How many phone calls you going to do that? That's the TikTok challenge, all that. See, Mr. UEP Newton, you said power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in the desired manner. Power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in the desired manner. If this social media phenomena, define it. You know what I'm saying? Give it, you know, the deal is, it's a... All this stuff, you know, they do science with this. You know what I'm saying? How to, you know what I'm saying, get you caught up, you know what I'm saying? There's some ladies in California suing Instagram stuff. They're talking about how their daughter's talking about committing suicide because the images they see, they can't grasp. This is just some old, staged images for them, and they feeling bad, thinking, you know what I'm saying, because they ain't got these champagne, you know what I'm saying, body plastic, you know what I'm saying, Tupperware, you know, whatever the case may be, bodies. And they run, you know, kill, they feel like killing themselves. That the impact, slip that pill in applesauce. You know what I'm saying? Man, we got a thing called a code of culture. Again, a code of culture. We say too many of us are singing, cats on some bling bling. Whatever cats when they rapping, ease up in there. Tyler, you talking about, man, I hit the block with you, get the drone, whatever. Ease up in there. Yeah, man, the Menard is just woo, laid down. So drop a pill up in there. Drop a pill up in there.
This story that I'm hearing kind of reminds me of the documentary of Malik Broder out there in New York when they was talking about how he went through the Wackers Island and how the guard's been dirty for years. But it took someone like JV to do the documentary and bring light to it. And a lot of laws changed once that happened. And what you're doing now, I think it's powerful. So continue. Not only that, then you got a lot of men that the great women, but the women be right behind them when they going through these struggles through the system. So I commend you.
Thank you.
Let me interject. All due respect to him, say this. But let me say this too, though. 2 points about that. A lot of, like, okay, like even when Nelson Mandela was released, it was given, like, no doubt the politicians played any role in different entertainment, but the deal is movements come from the ground up. It was such a mass heat. You know what I'm saying? They got people that go study what's going on in the plantation. And the film, you know what I'm saying? And also another point I'm going to bring out has the mysterious time of his mother's death. The whole family got knocked off. You know what I'm saying? But the deal is, the system will never tell you, the ruling class will never tell you that that's why it's important. The breakfast program, they say it started from the public schools. They can't say from 14 to 24 year old cats, you know what I'm saying, start a free breakfast program. That's why it's similar to when they train elephants in India. When they train the elephant in India, if the elephant sees a trainer step on a cup, and the trainer step on a cup, that elephant has to be destroyed. Because the deal is, no disrespect, so we need the artists to play a role. We have the code of coach. We need all the Jay-Z, everybody play a role. But the deal is, once the everyday masses come to grips with, wait a minute, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got no high school diploma either. Your auntie got some issues, you know, so she demoralized, that's the term we use, supposed to say they strung out. Once the masses, you know what I'm saying, historically, it's been the masses of people that create a, it's like a drug to the plantation. Once we start shaking the plantation up, it forces those in the house. Hey, man, you got to bring some butter knives and some biscuits up out of that motherfucker. Something got to give. You know what I'm saying? Because master going to say, man, what's going on? Why they out there tripping? You know what I'm saying? Because they go out there control them. And that's what the March on Washington, the initial March on Washington, all due respect, it wasn't Dr. King in there. It was the masses of people. So we finna shut this motherfucker down.
Now, one of the things, there's several different things that we're wanting. But one of our biggest issues that we're wanting, okay, so like in the state of Missouri, if you're to become a correctional officer in the state of Missouri, you have to have a bachelor's degree. In the state of Illinois, all you have to do is have a high school diploma or a GD to be a department correctional officer.
You blew my wig. I ain't okay. I know minority is not the case. It got to be such a minority.
So with that being said, there's no education, there's no requirements involved. So they get all these family members in. They're going to bring a cousin in, they're going to bring a husband in, they're going to bring a wife in. And the harassment continues. I had a Menard. I had an officer at Menard. Her name is Strong. Just tell me a few weeks ago when we were up on visit, I walked up to her. She said, she was shaking me down. I was getting ready to go in. She said, just a couple more months left. I said, yeah. She's like, tell him to sit his ass down. Lay low. She said, I've been here 14 years. She said, out of 14 years, all it takes for you to get in trouble one time, and you're going to stay on their radar, and they're going to keep coming, and they're going to keep coming, and they're keep coming. This was an actual officer at Menard Correctional Center that actually told me these things. So with what's going on is you have these correctional officers. They go from their correctional officer, the next thing they know, they could be a supervisor, then they could be a counselor, they could be in internal affairs, and they could be a grievance officer. Just bouncing around. There's no requirements. There's no education requirements or anything that's behind it. So what we're trying to do, we're wanting outside investigators to come in and investigate this. We want laws to be passed. We want a bill to be passed where there's an oversight committee over the Department of Corrections. Missouri is doing it right now. The state representative, her name is Kim Collins of Missouri. She's doing it right now. Her father passed away in the Missouri Department of Corrections. They just had conferences where family members came out. If the family members could not make it, they sent in videos that told how family members, inmates, are being harassed, not just in Illinois, but we're talking about Missouri. The torture, the abuse, the retaliation that's going on, where there's, because if I write a grievance on you and you're a correctional officer,
right,
you're going to be the one that's going to answer my grievance.
That's what you just want to do. The ticket, I was going to ask you that question. We need tickets. Somebody charge you the ticket. Who here, you're going from this board, it's called an adjustment committee.
Yes.
Who is most likely on the adjustment committee?
The same correctional officer.
The same one.
Guess what? I was a correctional officer for 10 years. Now I'm on the grievance committee. Or now I'm in internal affairs. If I had a problem with you when I was a correctional officer, I could use that as leverage to continue with the harassment. But if we get laws passed, get board passed, where they'll come in to where if there's a grievance officer, somebody from the outside who is not biased, come in and read that ticket and hold these officers accountable. I have a list. We created a website. First, we created our own non-for-profit. It's called lostforcause.com. Our non-for-profit that we originally first started having, we first started this non-for-profit, it was actually to get inmates to go and reach out to our youth, because inmates can relate better to the youth because they've been through that, where they dealt with the struggle and the peer pressure. Some of them have been incarcerated since they were kids, who caught kids crying and were given life sentences as children. But when all this comes, some of our stuff has kind of deteriorated to where now we're going in, we're putting up stories as far as this going on. Kenyatta actually wrote this letter, and it's on our website, actually, that we have on. This was wrote on February
20th. Oh, I want to ask one thing. Make a note of this, too, if you can. With Illinois, if you can, can be inserted in there about the outside people being, what is it y'all call it?
The Oversight Committee.
Oversight Committee. If it can be a heads up on something like to make sure real people from our community, like say hypothetically Menard, if they go outside, that means they brother or they, you know what I'm saying?
Correct.
So something.
No, something that's appointed by the government, by the state legislators. Somebody that needs to go in our oversight. Nobody that is even connected with the department of person.
Chicago, Illinois. What's the word? Daily number, not others. The term started in. I'm trying to think of this term that goes like do the like the daily machine, like they like hiring your brother and your sister and all that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They notorious for this, Illinois.
Correct.
So it's all gonna be. That's what I'm saying. Nepotism. Right on. You know what I'm saying? So be heads up for that, cause so something so the fine print. You know what I'm saying? Heads up for that.
We need state representatives, like, and they can. The Department of Corrections cannot stop our state representatives, our senators, from going in there. State representatives need to go into the, not just Menard, all these prisons. They need to see the conditions of these prisons. Menard, I remember back in, this was the late 90s, early 2000s, you were probably there at this time. I have an ex-husband who was actually there in Menard. That was in Menard. Menard had asbestos growing inside Menard. They were using the inmates. They did not hire an outside contractor to come in. They used the inmates. Inmates were in there with blowtorches trying to burn asbestos off the walls. That's why they just tore that whole old visiting room. That whole building now is gone. It was so infested with asbestos.
I had this with the state rep. Also, a community. I mean, if it's a community, I know. I mean, they play their role too. They can go in there too. But some putting up with a citizen. You know what I'm saying? Somebody from the community. You know what I'm saying? If they shoot it down, it still exposes the contradiction. So a person from the community. From whatever community, say, okay, like this person, they were charged, they from their set of the community. They had cases from Inglewood, Chicago. A person from that community is able to go inside and see the condition. You know what I'm saying? So because the state wrestlers, they do their thing, but we, the people, you know what I'm saying? So if that can include those. So I want to cut you off.
Go ahead. This was something that was written by Kenyatta. Kenyatta, if there's certain information that he wants to get to me because they will take it and they will throw it away,
yes,
he sends it to his attorney and I pick it up from
his attorney. Is it a brain thought? We just had the anniversary, I'm using that term lightly, of the uprising in Attica. You familiar with the Attica uprising,
yes,
1971?
Yes.
The uprising in Attica, it was not just Attica. It was a culmination of what was going on. The demands had been put forth about the conditions. But after Field Marshal George Jackson was assassinated August 21st, 1971, a year after Jonathan Jackson was assassinated, the prison's demand was literally, you know what I'm saying? In fact, I forgot the term it was used. Chairman Bobby Seale, the Black Panther Party, was demanding company there. Cook County Jail recently. They shut down. They demanded I be brought up in there to see what's going on. And the prison administration came to the point, they said, we'll let him go over Zoom. And we say, no, I got to go up in there. This just happened. It's September. So the prisoners, they demanded, and that's Sheriff Tom Dart boldly tried to list me as a gang chief. He said, ain't no way possible. All these different mobs, you know what I'm saying? We on the phone. Cassandra Grill, they talked to him. They said, we want Chairman Friend to come up in there. We got to up ante. Stay with the people, you know what I'm saying? We got community members on the community, so we got to really up ante, though. This recently Cook County Jail.
So this right here was Kenyatta sent out, and it's actually on our website, so anybody could always go back and reference it. It says, on January 12, 2022, the inmates in North Segregation Unit grew fed up with the mistreatment and conditions at Menard. Several inmates held their lunch trays, refusing to give them back to staff, requesting that the major of security, the warden, and mental health come speak to them. At the time, Menard wasn't allowing inmates to order commissary, and when they were, they didn't sell necessities like toothpaste, tin, paper, deodorant, etc. The facility was on a COVID-19 lockdown, not wearing masks, mixing positive and negative inmates, and openly bragging about trying to spread the virus and wanting to be told to go home for 10 days. The fact that their actions was keeping the facility on lockdown and inmates away from their loved ones seemed not to matter to them at all. The inmates were requesting the phone more regularly than every 30 to 45 days and their tablets so they could send out e-messages like the rules state that those in extended restricted housing 30 days are supposed to have. Staff refused to get mental health. The major nor the warden only agreed to give the phone more regularly. At one point, a young inmate asked to speak to mental health and said he was feeling suicidal. A white officer came to his cell and said, "Kill yourself then, you black bitch." All the inmates began yelling and beating on the doors. The young inmate set a fire in front of his cell. Multiple officers came on the gallery with fire extinguishers. Although the fire was on the floor in one spot, they put the fire out and then pointed it in the young inmate's cell. Then they walked up and down the gallery. Tactical officers came to the inmate cells that were the most outraged and outspoken about the mistreatment and beat and extracted them while the inmates were asking for mental health. The officers took several inmates out of their cells, removed all their property and sheets, and left them in the room with just jumpsuits for 7 days in the cold. They also turned their water and toilet off for 3 days. Later that evening, 1/12/22, Internal Affairs brought several inmates to the segregation building under investigation. On the other side...
Turn the water into... What happened with the water and toilets?
They turned the water and toilets off for 3 days.
You in the cell with somebody else. Ain't the man shit-packed feces?
No, this is actually in the SEG unit, so they're in there by themselves.
Oh, all due respect, they've been double-packing catching them SEGs. That's what we're challenging, too. They've been putting the strip sale, and some cats are double-packing SEG, too. Yeah, I know that. Yeah. But there's three, no water, no toilet. And the toilets you do have access to, it's controlled timing. So they control timing. They come in, you can flush it. You know what I'm saying? So you have to fix yourself when you're going to shit.
Later that evening, 1/2/22, Internal Affairs brought several inmates to the segregation building under investigation. On the other side of the prison, over 400 prisoners and general population was fed up with the mistreatment as well, and they went several days not accepting their breakfast, lunch, or dinner in order to get the attention of the warden on the matter. These inmates conducted themselves peacefully, protesting without any violence whatsoever. Internal Affairs retaliated by picking out inmates they deemed influential to make an example of. They took Rico Clark, Lewis Bailey, Marty Hollis, Jermaine North,
others. I need these names. I need y'all to go on IDOC. I need y'all to check these names. You know what I'm saying? Remember these names. You can go on IDOC, pull the numbers. It'd be one prison, one contact again. I need those names again.
Rico Clark, Lewis Bailey, Marty Hollis, Jermaine North.
One more time.
Rico Clark, Lewis Bailey, Marty Hollis, Jermaine Norris, Isaiah Brady, Chaz Trailkill, Michael Minifield, Kenyatta Brown.
One more time for me.
Rico Clark.
I need somebody, when these names being run down, type them names in. I need y'all go on IDOC, pull them numbers for me. One prisoner, one. I want y'all call in next week. I just corresponded with such and such. One prisoner, one contact. They move them by isolation or whatever the case may be. Repost those names down.
Rico Clark. Lewis Bailey, Marty Hollis, Jermaine North.
Yeah. No coincidence, you know, man. Yeah. Come on, real talk.
Kenyatta Brown, Isaiah Brady, Michael Minifield, Chaz Trailkill. This continues to say, Menard hate is real. They send a clear message to all inmates that if you file grievances, we will throw them away. If you peacefully protest or file a lawsuit against them, you will be targeted, retaliated against, and harassed with false charges, shakedowns, mail delays, and more. As long as you don't do any of these things, you're fine. We want prisoners to adopt civilized methods of handling issues. This cannot be done at Menard. It's a breeding ground for hatred. It's not by chance that it's the most dangerous violent prison in Illinois. These same inmates go to other prisons and never encounter nor be involved in things going on at Menard, such as violence and gang activity. Menard shuts inmates off from the outside and create tense environments while robbing them of their hope. They don't need to change. They need to close the prison.
We live direct on Free Mall Radio. Y'all say, we coming, this is Chairman Free. I'm my co-host on the line, too, though, Robin Allen, a.k.a. the Lady of Rage. You remember Afro Puff?
Yes.
Yeah, she's online with us right
yes,
now,
sir.
Also, too. We've been going
yes,
in. Yes, indeed. So, Sister Conrad, We got Lady Ray, y'all youngsters, baby B. Yeah,
baby B.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh man, look at this. This you can't see this. I'm glad you came to Healthy House today and see how I gotta move. Listen up, y'all. Listen up. Okay, free them all. This every day.
This is a free call.
See. Right. Ain't no 9 to 5 with me. This all day. You know what I'm saying? This ain't no, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? This live and direct, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Man. This live and direct. This is what, you know what I'm saying?
If you would like to permanently block your number from receiving calls from this facility, press 6.
One.
Yeah. I got the other one aside. I was drunk.
Any call for minimal EOC will result in a disciplinary action, and the involved end user's phone number will be globally blocked from future calls from all Illinois EOC facilities. Thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
Real man, free them all. Hey, I'm actually doing a radio show right now, so I'm live on the show right now. You feel me? I'm live and direct. We live and direct. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So you, I mean.
Oh,
okay. I mean, if you want to give me updates on me, okay, we're free them all. Yes, sir. Okay, let me cut off and come back. Cause I know that voice went out. I had another voice. How you heard that stuff? I'm getting okay. We gonna get my what's the name hooked up? Okay. Yes. Okay. Let me. I'm glad you. When you tell people, say, well, I came to meet Chairman Fred Hampton at the Hampton. He moving a million things. You know what I'm saying? I want you to let people know, because they got this stuff. You know what I'm saying? The work that we do, they think this. You know, they think it's Hollywood. It's Inglewood. You know. I'm so glad you came too. But hold on, I need let me get back on Instagram.
Come on, Brother Tim.
Okay. Come on, Mr. Conrad.
We have another Conrad on the line. Come yep. on.
Bring her in. Okay, bring her in. Yep, bring it. And then if those who calls who we missed today, y'all forgive us. Y'all know it. Don't charge it to the heart. You know what I'm saying? Don't charge it. Okay. We're gonna talk about the reparations, is all that. So you know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, we ain't gonna run out of issues in country. You know what I'm saying? Now while this is in place, welcome to Free Mall Radio, Mother Conrad. Welcome to Free Mall Radio.
Free Mall, Chairman Fred, and all the guests. You done had me. I done been through so many flashbacks. Listen to this. Talk about, Menard and, you know, the experience down there. And I thought about Clantrillia, what they wanted you to do, what the guards were demanding that you do. Some obscene shit. In order to get a visit, telling them that your mother is out there, you know, waiting on a visit. And even a lot of the inmates saying, man, your mama came way down here. You're not going to do what they tell you to do? And you said, hell no, I'm not doing it, you know? But your mama out there. And later when we talked, you said, are you upset about not getting a visit? I said, hell fucking no, you know? You did the right thing, not do whatever the fuck they asked you to do just to get a visit. This little midget guard came out there. She about 2 feet tall, all butch and everything. I was with your daughter. And then it's raining tons of water, like old people say, cats and dogs. And this bitch told me, you call people to call in here to, I said, wait a minute. I made a phone call. Are these phones tapped? How you know who I call? And you can interrupt me anytime when you get a prison call. You know what I'm saying? So just cut me off. You know, I know the deal. So you ain't got to worry about that. So I said, I'm not leaving. I'm not going out there. She want me to go out and stand by the road till the ride came back. I said, no, I'm not going to end up in a pot of soup for the Klan or something like that. Well, who did you call? I said, how you know I called somebody? Well, all these people are calling in here. The important thing from this is the people have to take on these campaigns. We can bring issues to them, but ain't no politician or nothing. I'm going to tell you something. Them politicians, a lot of them colored politicians, voted for TAM, the Supermax in Illinois. A lot of them colored politicians hosted a fundraiser at the, what was the name of that joint? The Sandpiper or something? in the black community to raise money for Tom Dart. So the place you going, I put it in the hands, I ain't got to mention his name, I put it in the hands of him, a whole packet in the hands of him and his wife about the case for Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. And you know what they told me? The wife told me, say, we was busy. When I confronted her later about it, how come they didn't get no support? And this is a son of a man who was brutally assassinated at 4 o'clock in the morning, where they had demonstrations worldwide about his assassination. And these so-called leaders were afraid to touch it. And some of them same ones came out to the house where he was assassinated, once he was assassinated, and promised to do this, that, and the third. And I'm trying to think of one of them that did something to show some kind of support or embracing his son or even all the people. And when we say we want to do something, we don't want them to just put him on the stage in front of a mic to repeat what the scripts that they're giving. We want something really done about these concentration camps that they call in prisons and jails, because that's what they are, concentration camps. And every kind of torture they could put on a black person in there, man, woman, or child, they're going to do it. So that's why we say, that's why I say, that's why we say free them all. Let the people sort them out.
Amen.
I don't free them all. We got free them all. We're going to create such a groundswell that we make these cats, as we say, fake, at least at minimum, fake the funk. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, entertainers, about all of them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Immediately, a lot of these kids didn't get no leads. You know what I'm saying? So they're incapable of taking a principal stance. However, we create an atmosphere, you know what I'm saying? Again, that this, they have to, you know what I'm saying? As we've seen in the 60s, the Black Power Movement forced, I mean, doing the Pontiac uprising. People had to say, man, how can I help work on this case? So we want to up the ante. That's the difference between the revolution and the war. It changed the what's fashionable. So we want it fashionable. You're at church, and they talking about any announcements, deacon and pastor. Yeah, pastor, such and such. You know, we got what's one person, one country. What's going on in Menard? You're at the club, you know what I'm saying? But DJ, you don't shout at anybody? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Give me some of the names again. Rico Clark. Who else? Come on with it. Come on.
Kenyatta Brown.
Give them names. Give them names, y'all.
Rico
pick a
Clark,
name.
Kenyatta Brown, Marty Hollis, Lewis Bailey, Jermaine North, Michael Minifield, Isaiah Brady, Chaz Trailkill.
Pick them names. You know what I'm saying? So we got to tie this in every arena, every entity. You know what I'm saying? I know we're on the countdown, y'all. I want you to get your ID numbers in contact. Make sure you get them Facebook pages. We're talking about the water, getting the water state bill, Cassandra Greer, Dr. Latrice. Get on their Facebook page. So the comrade, we got any more callers in queue? Because I know we're on the countdown. We're going to be Mother's Day at the Hampton House. Mother's Day at the Hampton House, y'all. Then Father's Day, we're going out to see Chairman Fred's tombstone. August 30th, put that on your calendar, too. August 30th, on your calendar, too, with Chairman Fred's street party. So the comrade, any more callers? Okay, right on. So true that for sure. Okay, right on. Okay, free up the water. Free them all. No doubt about it. Yes, indeed.
And actually, on our website that we have on our Lost for Cause, we actually have a list of the names of the internal affairs and the officers from Stateville to Menard.
Good. What's the website again?
LostForCause.com.
Lost, L-O-S-T?
Yes.
LostForCause.com. So, comrade, any more calls in queue? Devontae in the building. Comrade Stan, I see you in the building. Angie, for a free them all. Right on. Tamir Dix, right on.
And
yeah.
Please come out
Devontae
Saturday.
Devontae, get a call in. Okay, we'll get an address on it one more time.
It's at the Rainbow Push Coalition, 930 East 50th Street in Chicago, this Saturday from 11 to 1.
Comrade, any callers in queue?
Free them all, Brother Chairman. We have Brother Kubana in queue. Free them all.
Come on with it. Free them all. Welcome to my radio. We're on the countdown. Come on with it. No, excuse me.
Hey,
come
free
on,
all,
with
my
it.
Brother. Yes, indeed. Come on.
Free them all.
Much respect to Mama Kua, much respect. Hey, brother, just wanted to, she was mentioning about these politicians, man, and I just got off a council meeting in Gary. We've been trying to get a street named after Malcolm X for 22 years in the city. The previous
Gary,
mayor had an executive order to make it happen. And
Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana, right?
Yeah, Gary, Indiana. 85-90% struggling black city, and just it was just, you know, it was just, they just trying to do whatever they can not to make it happen. We almost got 4,000 signatures. We did what we were supposed to do last time. It was already on the ESRI map, already on the maps. If you Google map or whatever to try to get somewhere, it would show Malcolm X Drive in Gary. And they had it taken down. They had it taken down. So, you know, talking about
you had,
scared
on Google map, you had the street that we named the Malcolm X and Gary, and Google acknowledged it.
Yes.
And you saying that the Negro politicians thought to get it took down.
Yes, I don't give credit to the mayor. I ain't going to talk about all of them, but most of them ain't standing up against it. Had it taken down.
Okay.
So we still in the mayor, we got the second.
Google would say, okay, go on, right. Okay. Google say, okay, man. Now you, okay, go ahead. I'm with you.
No, I mean, it's unbelievable. So, but on the 17th, there's the next council meeting, and we're going to have a big hearing on it at that time. The attorney for the council, who already said of the opinion, because it passed the planning department unanimously. So it ain't all the Negroes up in here, but because the planning department passed it unanimously, finally, though. And they still, and they didn't make it happen. They said after 90 days, if it gets passed by them and you don't act on it, it should automatically just go forth. And they even fight against that. So that's going to happen on the 17th. So, man, it's just unbelievable. So
it's not the city hall. What is it, Quavon and Gary? What is it?
What's the place? It is the city hall. It's the city hall council chamber.
City hall,
the next city.
What time?
6 o'clock.
Six o'clock.
It's going to be online, too. They do a hybrid. Yeah, this coming up on Saturday. Yeah, this Saturday from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock our time is the national, the Nubian Leadership Circle's virtual summit. And so this is dealing with a bunch of issues that that affect our people. We got different, like 8 different cadres: arts and culture, land and food, health and education, economic development, and a couple more international issues. And so we're gonna chop that up, and we got work projects that we're working on to help move forward our liberation and what have you. So it's a Nubian Leadership Circle. And my brother, you are the guest, not the guest, I say you are the keynote speaker for that event. So that's going to take place this Saturday. Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. is going to be our keynote speaker for the Nubian Leadership Circle Summit. Check out NubianLeadershipCircle.org for more information, or check us out on Facebook, Nubian Leadership Circle, to get more information about this coming Saturday's fifth virtual summit.
I thought it was Sunday. I can get on. I can have my presentation
on
the phone. Oh, yeah, Saturday. It's
Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Saturday, bro. So you got to be on deck for Saturday.
On deck, man. I got to get my coffee ready, man. Ready? Yes, indeed.
The last summits. All right. Okay. All right, cool. So the last summits have been powerful that we've had. So we're looking forward to another one. So people, come on and get in. We got these work projects, and you can get your hands dirty and putting in some work for the people in this manner, because we got to unite. So appreciate you, brother.
So you're right. We appreciate you as well. And let I'm moving too fast. What's my brother's name? You coming in? Is he on? Cam. So let Cam know, call in. He'll give us updates with regards to reparations issues. So we need Cam to call and make sure you hit him before the end, so we can have it on the flyer. We talk reparations next week. We was a follow up from Milan, some other stuff though. But we need Cam. Make sure he call in for next Wednesday.
Right on. I did speak with him earlier, so hopefully he'll be on point. So yeah.
If he's online now, we can get him in real quick before we close out. Yep. Ain't some more, no. Okay, right on, Kwame, man. We appreciate you, my brother. Right on. Free them all.
Free them all.
Free them all. So, the camera, any more callers in queue? Trying to run it up.
Free them all,
brother.
No other callers in queue. Free them all. Call in queue, press one.
Chairman.
Yeah, Fremont, welcome Fremont Radio.
Fremont.
No,
it's called. Yeah. I want to bring Fremont up, I don't know how many people know about this story. In New Orleans, April 23rd, it was 4 young kids who went to the park. And 3 of them were siblings, 14, 8, and 5-year-old, and a 15-year-old accompanied them. Anyway, one of the girls fell in, 14-year-old Brandy Wilson, and her boyfriend jumped in to try to save her, Kevin Poole. He was 15, and her 8-year-old sister tried to jump in to save them as well. They have been missing
since April 23rd. One was found Monday, I believe, May 2nd, the young man that was 15 years old. But the Coast Guard, after 55 hours, they stopped the search. Other organizations have been doing private searches, and an organization called the Cajun Navy, they have been continuing the search as well. But I just wanted to bring up how the Coast Guard, they have more equipment. They're very equipped for these type of things, you would think, because they're the Coast Guard. This is what they specialize in. But after 55 hours, and the statement that the captain made was, the decision to suspend any search and rescue case is never easy, but considering the extensive search efforts of our Coast Guard men and women in conjunction with other response agencies, I've made the difficult decision to suspend our active search for three children. And this is Captain Kelly Denning of the Coast Guard Sector New Orleans Commander. And then he says, our prayers are with the families during this difficult time. Mm-hmm. So once again, 55 hours to me does not equate extensive search. And you have other organizations that are still continuing.
More than 2 days.
Exactly. Suspended their search. But like I said, the Cajun Navy, I talked to Mia X, who is she comes on the show quite often, and she was telling me about she's real good friends with the father of the two girls and the little boy. This was the first time the family had let them go out on their own. They were always with a parent or older person. So this was the first time that they were allowed to go out on their own. And their mother had suffered a heart attack, and the little girl was saying she wanted to give her mom a break, and she was taking her little brother and her little sister with her. And the family is just real distraught, you know, without reason, you know. I mean, with reason, with good reason. But back to that Coast Guard in the 55 hours, I just, you know, I wanted to bring, I don't know if it's any way we can make noise, like to post and complain. Yes. And so the Coast Guard can go back out there. Say it again.
We had simultaneously, you know, heighten the consciousness. We got to see the heighten the consciousness. I mean, because, like, okay, in New Orleans, after Hurricane America, a lot of people call it Hurricane Katrina. We call it Hurricane America. We say Katrina ain't killed nobody. Deal is, we, like, after Hurricane America, we've seen a brutal graphic pictures of how black people were treated. You know what I'm saying? And the deal is, in response, a lot of people didn't know about that. You had the Soul Patrol. The Soul Patrol were the brothers and sisters, I don't know who was demoralized, people thought they were strong or whatever. They turned refrigerators into wrath, you know what I'm saying, saving the people. We are so capable, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, even after Hurricane America, a lot of people that took issue with the United States referencing black people as refugees. In fact, you have Reverend Sharpton, so we should be referenced. I said, no, we got to come to grips with that and say, no, how this country sees black people, you know what I'm saying? We've seen former U.S. President George Bush, his wife, you know, I mean, they have pictures of golden retriever dogs on buses, clean, get them up out of there, you know what I'm saying? They were locking black people up, you know what I'm saying, for going up and getting food. These contradictions have to be exposed so we can simultaneously put the pressure on the Coast Guard, but at the same time, that we don't think we're capable, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people say, well, if this traffic light stops, how are we going to drive our cars? They don't even know what we are capable of doing, and a lot of times under pressure, you know what I'm saying? It comes out, you know what I'm saying? We say, damn, I know we can do this. So I'm not even with the Cajun Navy. I can imagine what it is. There's some brothers and sisters down there. You know what I'm saying? And we got to really fight. And that's what people never know about the Soul Patrol. Because, like I said, about the elephant being trained in India. Because it's inspiring. People start to say, wait a minute. We can go. And I want y'all to go look at this comedian who I know they assassinated, Patrice O'Neal. Matter of fact, Coach, what's his full name? Patrice Malcolm X O'Neal. Check this cat out. I mean, phenomenal.
Yes, Patrice Lumumba Malcolm.
He got a whole... Patrice Lumumba O'Neal. This kid, I know they assassinated this
Malcolm
brother. He had a whole bit about that. He said, if I get off, I go on a boat, I'm taking me a white lady down with me so they can come find me. He said, you see the Coast Guard come up, the whole black football team missing. They like, well, good day. This is how, this is in the schools, this is in the health care, this is in the prisons, this is a policy. This is the when merchants come in, when they come in the country, they tell, oh, go to the black community, you can sell them slop, everything you want to do. You know what I'm saying? We are treated the Rodney Dangerfields of all races. So it's a dual, we simultaneously, we heighten the contradictions, how the system deals and relates to us, as well as empower the people, say, what you are capable of doing. Again, we'll put the word out, we'll shout out, you know what I'm saying? That's when we get contact with the Cajun Navy and the families that call in with us next week, you know what I'm saying? So people get inspired, say, damn, who found them babies, you know what I'm saying? It's 55 mm-hmm. hours, it takes them Coast Guard 55 hours to throw their damn boots, their rubber boots on, and they gas the boat up, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So ain't no way possible. And over there, New Orleans is below sea level. It ain't like they go in the Atlantic Ocean looking for no motherfucking body. You know what I'm saying? So this is a deal. It's not that difficult. We are capable of doing the Soul Patrol. There were brothers and sisters taking refrigerators, going to save. I'm through with God. This is what I bear witness to. We was down. We rolled down there. The news never reported this. People said, well, I didn't know about it. It didn't happen. They're not going to tell you about this here. You dig? And most people sitting there, going to sit there and wait on the news to tell them this was happening, this will save you. You know what I'm saying? We bet witness, man, the Black Panther Party Cubs is on the ground, down there. We call it Hurricane America. You know what I'm saying? So, again, we are our own liberators. And it's times like these we have to see and say, man, dude, this we are historically who has saved us. And a lot of times, we come from the ground up, they say, okay, we can't stop it co-opted. They're going to grab some other person and say, that's who brought attention to this. No, they can play a role, and they need to. Revolution, gain the massive participation of the masses of the people. In Vietnam, the prostitutes had to play a role. They said it was a different prostitute prior to Ho Chi Minh and the GI position. You know what I'm saying? The prostitutes say, we gonna guarantee American soldiers go to bed with us. Ain't no waking up. It was a different bumblebee. They trained them bumblebees clumped out of the sticks, you know what I'm saying? So this Black Power movement in the 60s. It was a different type of prisoner when Field Marshal George Jackson was held captive. You know what I'm saying? The Black Power movement in the 60s, it was a different type of disciple. You got them to the devil's disciples, they're gonna black disciples. Everybody, ain't no neutrons in this war. You know what I'm saying? We got a heightened, that's a blatant contradiction what's going on with them babies being missing down there. Hey, some people get sidetracked. Was they in the gang? What the mom was doing? Why they not down there? You know what I'm saying? Was the father, was they married to the woman? Was that his second wife or third wife? All that sidetracking of the slaves. You know what I'm saying? Was Rodney King, was he speeding or not? You know what I'm saying? It is here. I'm cut from the cloth, man. My guys get into it. We handling the business. You know what I'm saying? Whatever told them we got, we handle that. You know what I'm saying? Black Panther Party position was, and the Black Panther Party cubs hold the line. Difference between people are reconciled, between people stay like irreconcilable, then babies are missing. This should be, man, listen, did this here. Take them, listen, you think of one of three white children, you think your phone will be buzzing right now to an Amber Alert? You think one of them on Oscars and stuff, them people have some rivers on their lapels saying this disconnected to them to the three white girls missing? You think Justin Timberlake and them, you know what I'm saying, and we can say, hold on, man, I'm going out for the benefit to find these children. We end up there. Every entertainer, every politician, get up. They ain't going to need this now. Be clear on that. Let me be clear. See, this stagecoach, you know what I'm saying, ain't no mules or duckies leading, motherfucker. Man, thoroughbreds. But everybody got to play a role. You say, I can't ride the horse, man. Something. Got some horseshoes. Something. To play some role, help the wheels on the stage, coach. Something. But to play a role. We live and direct on over on the countdown. Woo! Past the countdown. Look, okay, did it say, y'all. Give me some the Facebook account, some context where you at.
My Facebook page is Marcia, MARCIA, Happen, HAPPON. Then we have our website, lostforcause.com. Anybody can sign up on that. For the subscription, we're actually looking for people who've got stories to tell as far as abuse that's going down on with any part of Department of Corrections. We got a blog that we're getting started, and we're trying to get together the podcast as well.
Right on. We're going to be getting the podcast to happen after coming soon. I got these cats. No cap. Y'all check them out. And that piece going to be when it's coming out? About 2 weeks, y'all. Man, y'all be waiting. It was it. We get down to get out, man. It was hot.
It was.
Real talk, y'all. Happy birthday, my man, Money Frazier in the building. It's a real inspiration, man. Will Crosby, happy belated birthday to you, brother. Real talk, man. You know what I'm saying? We got a triple C, you know what I'm saying? Karen Cool, Mr. Fish and everything over there went down for, you know what I'm saying, for the birthday celebration over there. Hey, it's an honor to serve y'all. You know what I'm saying? My brother Corey in the building, man. No cap in the building. Let's just make history, take history, take history. This Sunday at the Hampton House, y'all, going to be some women's clothes for women. Then some dishes, you know what I'm saying, for Mother's Day. Then Father's Day, we going out to check out the chairman down at Tombstone. Well, where is that? Ask the police. They're going to shoot this tombstone up every year. They ain't forget. Go to bed. People say, well, you get a couch. You get... They got that. Ain't this like this? They know, because there's no abstract speaking. They up front about it. And that's the position we got to take. The chairman Fred say, yeah, we subversive, motherfucker. We up front. She just told you. She said, man, he sent the email, my name in the motherfucker. Yeah, man. Oh, chairman, you tripping, man. You like this? Shh. I she telling you. Man, I'm clear that he come with this shit. You know what I'm saying? Man. Let's make history, take history, take history, y'all. Once again, Chairman Fred Adams Jr., Robin Allen, a.k.a. Lady Ray, shout out to Sister Kim, Deputy Minister of Defense, Bunchy Carter. She's doing a lot better right now, man. Good to hear that. It's an honor to serve, y'all. Hampton House, 804 South 17th Avenue. Whatever support y'all can, don't forget, man. SaveTheHamptonHouse.org. Hit the donate button. Cash out, dollar sign, Save the Hampton House. We done made a monumental move. I say we. Historical landmark. We can start, man. We got a lot of cleanup, y'all. We got a lot of work to do, so we still need support, y'all. We need to get the electricity cleanup, y'all. So we need y'all support. Cash App, dollar sign, Save the Hampton House, SaveTheHamptonHouse.org. Hit the donate button, y'all. So the comrade Dad can take us out with something.
Subscribe, nigga, get your issue. Just I remind you, I'm only here to touch you. Pistol whip you, dip you, then flip you, then dance to this motherfucking music and crib to.
We love and respect. Hey, the road here, San St. Louis, he was like, man,
for your homies, nigga. This one here brought to my nigga Mike Cruz. How you come up, man?
I started young, kicking dust, man. Living roughly, watching out around my mom and you couldn't cuss, man. I had a sound ass on me, though. We ran a switching on the scene at the age of 14. I'm back to 9 and my nigga back to 45. We're drinking more than little shorts, living on the lot. You couldn't stop us. Long as I got my Glock, fucking coppers. Hanging on the block, slanging rocks and making profits. I couldn't fuck with the school life, I was a fool. I played a motherfucker for a tune, man. Tonight'll be the night, that's what we singing. Hustling in the rain, felt no pain, cause we drinking. Playing them hoes like manure. For something my nigga fucking, then I fuck, that's how we do. Two niggas coming out about the hood, living life just as good as we could. But since a bitch can't be trusted, hoes sitting to the police, now my nigga trust. Swooping on my nigga in jail, trying to get a motherfucker to jail. And couldn't nobody diss my nigga. Damn, I miss my nigga. Drinking on gin, smoking on blunts, and it's a long reminiscence about my nigga.